Don't change that dial. Live from Trinity High School at the Catholic Men's Conference, it's time for...
Listen up! Jesus is on the air. Hey, Tony, here we are with the men's ministry over at Holy Trinity High School.
John, this is amazing.
600 men or more are going to be here in prayer throughout the whole day.
They're here.
This is a wake-up call for men. That's what we're doing today.
And
a wake-up call for men.
John, this is a statement that real men love Jesus.
Because
real men are here. You have to see the sight.
But you know, when Sister Joan Kellenberg was with us, she added, real women love Jesus, too. That's being
glorious. Which is true. We know that.
We have two guests with us, Father Charles Mangano and Glory Mangano. And they are going to just fill you up with a desire to get closer and closer and closer to Jesus. The whole purpose of our show is to get people who have moved away from the church to realize that you don't move away from Jesus. He dwells in you and he's calling you back. He's calling you back, especially in Lent, to reconciliation and to the Eucharist.
And John and I are just two little kids with love of Jesus in our hearts, and we want to spread that love throughout Long Island, throughout New York State, throughout the United States, throughout the world if we could. And you know what? We're really only looking for one convert a week. One convert a week. The apostles got 3,000 every time they spoke. So John and I are very humble. So if we can get one convert a week, praise Jesus.
And I got complaints, Tony. I have to tell you. People have been saying that we kid around much too much for a religious show.
But we love one another.
Now they say you have to be serious. So today we're going to be very, very serious. All
okay,
right?
Okay, you're the executive producer, and I'll just do what you say.
Okay. Father Charles and Lori, why don't you tell us who you are, and people already know, but say hello.
Hello. It's great to be here. Thank you for having us on the show.
It's our honor.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm pastor of Kiriavar's Church. I've been there for 7 years, and I've just been assigned for another 5, so I'm very grateful for that. Praise God. And I've been a priest for 21 years, and I love being a priest. It is a wonderful gift and grace.
And you do something else, don't you? Sing at times?
Lori and I say,
what are
yourself, Lori?
Well, I'm a wife and a mother, and I have just become a grandmother.
Congratulations.
So I am really on a high, and I did not know that getting older could feel this better.
Oh, well, really, tell us about it. We're not too sure.
Just wait another 20 minutes.
Oh, wait, be careful around, sorry.
That's right, you gotta be serious. People told me old age is not for wimps, and I believe that. I believe that.
That's great. But we have been singing together for, like Father Charles says,
20 years.
20 years in our ministry, but singing together our whole lives.
Absolutely.
Our whole lives. I think I was 9 years old when I started singing in church. And in those very early years, we make everybody laugh when we tell them this, but in those very early years, Father Charles couldn't sing to save his life. He couldn't hold a note, and it really is truly a miracle, and I know that God has had this plan for my brother in his priesthood to sing and reach people through music. So I know I was there when he had that miraculous healing, if you will, that he was suddenly able to sing.
I had good rhythm. I played the percussion instruments in our family band that we had, but they would say, don't sing.
He tells me that every week.
I just couldn't hear the notes.
You know, I remember when you first became a priest and came to St. Catherine, and we were so thrilled to have you. And as I said,
you
did an amazing job at St. Catherine. You really did. And I remember the singing homilies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They were magnificent.
Yes. Yeah.
We're going to start our show with a theme. Be still and know you are our God. And Father Charles, that's from your album.
Yes, that was the first album that we recorded in 1992.
Leave me, Lord. So let's listen. Get yourself quiet at home. There we go. We go back and forth with that music.
And I will speak. Father, you can sing along.
He had a rough night.
106 people there.
Amazing. Amazing.
Try to talk over the music.
That's a tribute to your ministry.
Thank you.
Praise Jesus.
You know, Father, I hate to talk over music, but we do it all the time. You know, we tell people, stop talking to God so much. Be still. And learn to listen to Him. Because He'll talk in your heart in some way. He'll touch you. Don't you believe that that's true?
Absolutely, John. Absolutely. There's so much running in the help to have. There's no silence.
And I feel bad for the kids.
We don't listen.
You ever talk to the kids and they're texting while you're talking?
Yeah.
I was driving in the city, and there was a couple holding hands, and the girl on the right was on the cell phone, and the boy on the left was on the cell phone. We wonder who they were talking to.
Right. Not each other.
People don't know how to be still. It's so fast-paced.
You weren't thinking about me, Uncle John, when you said that.
This is the ever-ready man. he runs and runs and runs and runs. Oh, we're talking over the music again. We got to stop that again.
Sorry.
Listen, anyone who's out there, get Father Charles and Lauren's music.
Oh.
This album, Lead Me, Lord, I told you years ago, is therapy. It takes people through therapy. I use your workshop, your materials in all the workshops I do.
And you're coming out with a new album, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, we're
excited.
This is,
yes.
This is going to be special.
So we're going to save that blockbuster announcement for later.
I have another one, too. Tell me when I could say it.
Say it.
Don Palmer is going to be receiving an award today.
Oh, nice.
As the best or most or the finest Catholic person going.
You're kidding. Isn't that wonderful?
And
he
truly deserves it. I'm so proud of my partners, like my uncle being an award.
I told you I'm not your uncle. I'm your grandfather. Keep telling you that.
Does that mean I'm in the inheritance then? Sorry, talking over you.
We had Al Barberino, we always talk over his music, right? So he came one day, and I told him, I would talk, he could talk over me, and that would give me full time.
And then he said to me, don't sing, Tony.
And you know, laughter is wonderful. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, loves laughter. In my prayer time, God the Father said, you have such a fearsome picture of me that I'm afraid of you. Nothing to be afraid of, Father. He loves us. He loves us. And all of you who were pulled away from the church, the Catholic Church, we tell you, be still. God wants to touch you right now. Be still. Let Him touch you.
And we're asking for you practicing Catholics to stop practicing. Get in the game of Jesus. Going to church once a week is good. Doesn't really cut it. Get onto Jesus' team. You've practiced long enough. Come on down to our side.
You know, I really wanted to ask both Lori and Charles, how did God become real to you in your life? How did He become real to you?
You know, John, when I was a teenager, I got involved with the Charismatic Renewal when I was in eighth grade. And that's when I just started learning how to play the guitar. I played by ear because the music teacher told my parents to save their money because I was tone deaf. So I stopped taking guitar lessons. My sister Donna taught me how to play. And it was really through the prayer meeting where I met Jesus. I mean, we went to Mass every Sunday.
Right.
But it was through the charismatic prayer meeting where I met Jesus in a personal way. All of a sudden, He became a friend. And then through my music is where I would go home every day from school and close my door, and for an hour I'd be behind the door just learning the prayers of songs, and then I got into Christian music. And it was really through music and the charismatic prayer meeting where, if I didn't have that in my life, I don't know where I'd be today. That was tremendous.
What was different about the charismatic prayer group? What happened?
Because they were very open to the power of the working of the Holy Spirit, and praising Jesus, and thank you, Jesus, and we need you, Jesus, we love you, Jesus. And I believe Mass gave me the foundation of knowing my faith and loving the Lord, but the prayer meeting introduced Jesus to me in a personal way, and our need for Jesus. So, like for me, Mass was God giving us Jesus, but they're really getting to be introduced to Jesus, spending time with Jesus.
But when you first met Jesus, did he come on as a strong friend, powerful friend, or did he gradually come on as your friend and just grew as you went along?
It was a slow process.
Slow process.
A slow understanding of, he really loves me, you know?
And that's what's so beautiful about Jesus. He doesn't throw himself on top of us. He just comes on gradually
and
gradually.
Knocks on the door of your heart.
Absolutely. It's amazing.
How about you, Marie?
Well, I would say what my brother just said is true for me as well. But I would say that the irony of it is that I think I truly came to know the Lord by going to school. And it's not because anyone there talked about the Lord. It's not because I went to Catholic school. It's not for any of those reasons. It was because I was so unhappy in school. I never felt like I fit in. I was different from the other kids. And by our weekly attendance at Mass, through my parents, they were always embraced the church, and they always brought the church home from Mass. We talk about God, we talk about the readings in the car driving home from Mass. We would talk about God through the week. So I started taking God with me to school, and I believe, if I remember correctly, it was my father who sat on our beds, and we were crying and crying because we just did not want to go to school the next day. We were new kids in school. My parents moved a couple of times, so we were kind of rejected, and we were kind of ostracized by the other kids. And my father said, well, take God to school with you. And I clung to that, and I did. And when I took God to school with me, I had a true companion, and I did not feel alone. I felt different and separate from everyone else there, but I didn't feel alone because I could confide in God, and if I cried, I was crying with God, and if I was smiling, I was smiling with God. And so out of bad came good, and then I started singing, and when I sang about this person, all the lyrics that were speaking and praising God, speaking about God, became so real and personal to me because it was the truth for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so from my heart, I started to truly sing for the Lord in a personal way. And then we simultaneously had started with the prayer group. And the prayer group was something I did not want to do. And my mother said, Lori, they need people to lead them in song, and they don't have anybody. What, help them. And so I did it out of compassion, but it was not my style of praying. I liked being alone in my room. I would lie in my bed, and that's where I talked to God. And I did not like it to be out in the open and in front of people. I truly kept my mouth shut. I did what my mom said. And my mother, in her wisdom, probably knew, keep my children close to the Lord in every way. And she was right, because I came to know the Lord. And I would look at everyone else who would pray out loud, and I would just be in awe of them. I wanted to pray quietly, but they prayed boldly, and I respected them for it. And I just thought, I must truly love God. And I observed them to see, are they real, are they not real? And I know they were real.
Mm-hmm. And
after my first wife died, when I married women, they die on me.
Oh, no.
He's got some advice from his doctor.
Nobody wants to be the third wife. But after my first wife died, I was lying in bed. I had left with three young children.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel my heart beating. I said, my God, I'm going to have a heart attack and they're going to be orphans.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard inside of me, praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise mm-hmm. me. And I was not into charismatic. And I would say to myself, how's that?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Anyway, I went right off to sleep. And then I felt rested. The following Sunday, I went over to Mass and they had an announcement that there was a prayer group taking place on Tuesdays. And so I said, my mother-in-law watched, I said, I need to go. Mm-hmm. And I opened the door to the chapel. You know what I heard?
praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
And it was the first night of a Life in the Spirit seminar. And so he called me.
Thank him all the time.
Praise God.
Lori, you said two things that touched me. Number one was your mom. Mm. And it reminded me so much of the Blessed Mother, the way she wants to bring people to Jesus. You know, she really does in a slow way. And the fact that you bring Jesus home with you, that's our mission statement. Jesus wants to be involved in all parts of our lives, not only in Mass. He wants to come home with us. He wants to be with our children, in our prayer life, in our daily life, in our business life. I made him CEO of my business.
And so
he wants to be involved with us. So all we have to do is open our arms and welcome him with us. And
I feel sorry for people when they go to church on Sunday and then they leave, and they never got anything more from that 1 hour, because the primary purpose of that hour is to make sure that we have the ammunition, whatever you want to call it, so that you can deal with things.
That's the practicing Catholics that we're asking. Stop practicing. Come on, get into the game of Jesus.
No. Oh, we want them to go to church.
Of course. We want them to be just
Sunday Catholics for the time being. Every time they receive the Eucharist, Jesus touches them.
Absolutely.
And eventually, they won't be able to resist his call.
Okay.
And, you know, that call comes at different times in your life. And people ask me, how do I know Jesus is calling me? I said, you'll hear him.
Yeah.
Time and time, he may make you feel guilty because you're living in sin.
Right.
He may heal you when you're in trouble.
Right.
But he'll get you. It could be just a song on the radio.
Right.
Your song on the radio, Father, could touch people.
Absolutely.
That's the call.
I think it's living the Mass 24/7.
Getting in the game of Jesus
to me means living the Mass throughout the entire
week.
Right. And if you open yourself, then the words of the Mass start making sense.
Absolutely.
And Scripture starts making sense.
But you know what I find? I find that the great gift of going to Mass is it reminds us who we are.
Right.
As men of God, women of God, children of God, beloved children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that enables, it reminds me, because during the week we're told so many things through the media and through movies and everything about who we should be, what we should look like, what we should be buying, what we should even smell like, you know? And then we're reminded at Mass who we are.
Right.
And then like Pope John Paul II said, now at the end of Mass, you're given a blessing. Now go forth in peace.
Yeah.
To love and serve the Lord. Now go forth.
See, for me, going to Mass is where you develop the spiritual muscle to live your life. And it's like people that go to the gym. Now, if you didn't go to the gym and you didn't work out, and you didn't get on the bike and do the cardio and the aerobic and the muscle training, weight training, and you didn't do all these things, now when you go run your marathon, how are you going to run your marathon? So you have to go to Mass in which you learn how to take God with you through your life, so you have the muscle to deal with when the things happen in your business, in your corporation, in your daily life, when you're in the food store, when you're in the mall, when you're driving down the road. How do you have the strength or the insight or the wisdom how to handle things? It just comes. You don't even have to think about anymore, how should I respond, what should I say, how do I handle this, when it comes naturally because you have developed a muscle.
Right.
And the muscle is your free will.
Right.
Yes. And people don't realize that their will is stronger than their mind. And all the things that the mind throws at you to keep you from Jesus, you just say, and move away from it.
Yeah.
Practice building that muscle.
But if we don't welcome Jesus into our daily lives, he's not going to just intrude into our lives. We need to welcome him. Going to Mass is an absolute, but welcoming him is what we need to do to get out of being a practicing Catholic.
Right.
I think one of the things that has so moved me about our music ministry is that how many cards and letters we receive talking about how our music has brought them back not only to a relationship with God, but even to the sacrament.
Absolutely.
Back to church. And I think the greatest compliment we ever got was a letter from a woman from prison, Bedford Hills correctional facility. And it just totally amazed us. And she talked about how she wasn't even Christian, and how her boyfriend gave her one of our cassette tapes. And she had it for quite some time. And then she decided to play it while she was in prison. She said, I was a Christian, I wasn't baptized, nothing.
said, and I listened to this, and as I was listening to it, it was like beating a hunger inside her. And then with that, she went to the chapel there in the prison. She said, I walked in, there was this big picture of Jesus. She said, and I knew I was in the right place. And as a result, she got baptized, became Catholic, received the sacrament. She wrote us. She asked if we would go there. The chaplain invited us to the prison. We went to the prison and did a whole concert there for all the inmates. They all knew our music.
Yeah.
It was the most moving experience.
Yeah.
We went back twice, actually. We did a Christmas
cry when you got the letter?
Oh, we were overwhelmed.
See that, Palmer? See that, Palmer? He makes fun of me because I cried.
Oh, yeah.
It's
what
humbling,
a joy.
Very, very humbling.
Absolutely.
To know you're part of something that's bigger or part of something that God wanted, you know, like,
God help us,
God, Almighty.
Yes.
You know, I often wonder about the saints and how they get into coming to God. And we have a segment on our show called Saints Alive. Mm-hmm. And in that segment, my friend Anthony reads and brings us up to date on a saint. Who do you have?
Your nephew. I have one of my favorite saints. This is, will finish up. We've been doing the apostles for Lent, so this will finish up the apostles. Do you know who Saint Thaddeus is, Dr. Palmer?
No.
My favorite
birds.
Saint.
Do you need birds?
Yes, I do.
What's going on with birds?
He's my favorite saint when I was a kid, when I was 13 years old. Saint Jude.
Ah.
And Saint Jude is a saint of miracles, of hard cases, of forgotten cases, of impossible cases. And so there's not much that's known about Saint Jude. Even our Pope declared that there isn't much known about Saint Jude, except that Saint Jude was closely associated by blood with Jesus through Saint Anne. I think he was a nephew of some sort. And that he was a grandnephew of Saint Anne and Joachim. He's a nephew of Mary and Joseph. And he's placed in the relationship of the cousins of our Lord. Strangely enough, he's positioned, the apostles, it looks like, through the readings, were positioned in triparts. Four parts of three, four in each, and he was in the last part. And the word brethren, he's considered a brethren of Jesus, which just simply means that he has a relationship with Jesus. His boyhood and youth, Jude must have associated with Jesus, although it's really not known. And at the beginning of public life of Jesus, Jude left everything he had, to follow his master Jesus. As an apostle, he labored with great zeal for the conversion of the Gentiles. For 10 years, he worked as a missionary. He returned to Jerusalem for the Council of the Apostles. Later, he joined Simon, where the two apostles preached the gospel to the barbarian inhabitants there. The tradition says that he and Simon suffered martyrdom as saints in the city of Perea, where they had labored as missionaries. Jude was finally martyred. He was beaten to death with a club. Hence, he is represented with a club in his hand. His head was then severed from his body with an axe. His body was brought to Rome, and his relics are now venerated in St. Peter's Basilica. St. Jude is known mainly as the author of the New Testament epistle of Jude. Unfortunately, he is often associated with Judas, who betrayed Jesus. And so in many instances, he's confused, and so he doesn't have the following. But the letter that he wrote was probably written before the fall of Jerusalem, between the years 52 and 65. In his letter, Jude denounces that early time and warns the Christians against the seduction of false teaching. He speaks of the judgment to come upon the heretics who are living evil lives, and condemns the worldly-minded and lustful, and those who cultivate people for the sake of gain. He encourages Christians to remain steadfast in the faith and foretells that false teachers leading wicked lives and ridiculing religion will rise, but they will be punished. This Holy Week, being the week of Palm Sunday. And tomorrow's readings, we're going to read about Jesus. We're going to read about how he was condemned and crucified. And Jude concluded with his letter with a prayer, praising God for his incarnation, by means of which the eternal world of God, Jesus Christ, took upon himself in that crucifixion of our human nature to redeem all mankind. And so he tells us that we were given such a beautiful gift by Jesus because of his love, by being crucified and suffered. And such a gift is beyond words. And so that's my short angle on St. Jude. You told me to be short.
Well, you are short. But, you know, isn't it wonderful to hear about saints? They were just like you and me.
Right, ordinary people.
And they exercised their muscle.
Right.
Yeah, but
they went to God.
The amazing thing is in the selecting of the apostles, and I always say, he really didn't pick the powerful and the strong. He picked the lowly. He picked, I once thought he picked only fishermen, but that wasn't true. He picked farmers. He picked bookkeepers. He had tax collectors. He had an assortment.
Absolutely.
But they weren't rulers. They weren't kings. They were there and all had a job.
He took ordinary men.
Took all and made fishermen out of them.
And you can pray to them, and they intercede for us. A lot of people don't understand that.
One thing further I'd like to say. I would like you, Dr. Palmer, as a researcher, to do a study on apostles, a real deep study. I think we can come up with some amazing information. I don't say it wasn't discovered before, but...
Well, who knows? But to me, the apostles are all different parts of personalities.
They are.
They all have different personalities. You can always find an apostle or a saint that you can relate to. I'd like to move on a bit.
Okay, I just want to say one thing. They all have something in common. They had love in their hearts for Jesus. And I believe that's how Jesus really selected them, because he knew that they had love in their hearts. Okay, we'll move on now, Dr. Palmer.
Thank you. You know, the first part of our show, we talked about, how did you hear Jesus? How did he become alive? And once he becomes alive, he leads you. He leads you. Mm-hmm. And Father, you have that beautiful song, Lead Me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're going to play it just to get our listeners in the mood. We found out if we talk too much, we go to sleep, and so do our listeners. So we don't talk so much. We try not to anyway.
That was beautiful. In case you're just tuning in, we're telecasting or we're radioizing live from Trinity High School, and we're doing a remote program, and we got Father Charles and Sister Lori here. It's Sister Lori, and Father Charles is going to be a guest speaker at the men's conference, and Dr. Palmer is going to be receiving an award. So come on down. You still have time.
Amen.
You know,
Palmer will pay for your admission.
You know, the Lead Me, Lord, is for everybody out there. That's God talking to your heart, saying, come on. And so listen, what is God leading you to do today? And I'm asking you, Father Charles and Lord, what's God leading you to do in your ministries today?
Well, he's definitely been leading us to lead people back to him, back to the faith, back to their heart where he can be found. That's what he is, that's where he resides. And right now we're working on our rosary CD. It's our eighth album so far.
And I think this is truly special because it, you know, everything that we do is a prayer. All our music is a prayer through song. But this is going to help people to pray on their own because of the rosary. And we have a scriptural rosary and then a 20-minute rosary. And I know for myself, as I told my brother, I said, that's what I need to help aid me in my prayer life. Because if I get into a car and I have to run here, there, and everywhere, I can pray a 20-minute rosary.
I listened to the rosary that you did with the people from down in
Trinidad.
When I walk, I listen.
Do you?
They're beautiful.
Well, you're going to love this. You're going to love this.
Great.
I was just listening to a few of the mixes yesterday. Hopefully they'll be done soon. But it's beautiful, has the meditation songs, but the praying is beautiful. And now people can pray along and focus themselves.
It's the first time we've ever done this. Usually it's just contemporary Christian music that we're doing. We also wrote music to the Litany of St. Joseph.
Father Charles, he's the one that...
I wrote the melody, but then we did the whole vocal piece to it. You know.
Yeah. And I just made it better.
Atta girl, Lori.
I love that there's no competition. And Lori,
you know what I'm going to say?
Don't worry, we're going to play a song by you before we...
We played one last week.
I'm fine.
Yeah, we did.
Good. But, you know, we're so excited about it because I don't know of any song with me to St. Joseph.
No.
And I've had such a devotion to him over the years. And when I was in prayer, I was getting some titles of Joseph that are not in the traditional litany. So we kind of edited the litany, and we have the traditional titles as well as some of the new things that I've added. And then I brought to Lori, and then she polished it up, and we just love it. It has a real Jewish sound, the music.
One of our earlier shows, when we talked about the healers, we did Brother Andre and the oratory and all of his healing. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that priest was in ministry for 30 years, and they said he had at least 1,000 healings a year. And at his funeral, people touched his casket and were healed.
Wow.
And all in his devotion to St. Joseph. So I'm so glad you're doing that.
And we found that there's a memorandum to St. Joseph.
Yes.
We did the study of saints, and we did the saints alive.
You know that? There's a memorandum to St. Joseph.
St. Joseph, and we said it. We have it.
Well, give it to you. Maybe you might want to use it.
Put it in your album.
But, you know, where can people find information about what you're doing and the albums that you have?
First of all, they could go to our website, www.fathercharleslaurie.com.
And Father Charles would be F-R, Charles, Laurie, one long word, and Laurie is L-A-U-R-I-E. So fathercharleslaurie.com. Or they could even go, they can call my rectory if they want albums.
Modern Day.
Of ours.
And Modern Day.
Or they can do Modern Day Music Ministry.
Which is, not for profit. Modern Day Music Ministry.org. Or they could...
Modern Day stands for Mother of God. We then flatten that Mother of God. We've consecrated our music ministry to Our Lady.
They could write to our P.O. Box, 514 Franklin Square, New York.
Okay, that's
great.
They can
get our albums in Christian bookstores all over Long Island. Yes. They can do that.
And I don't want to hurt your feelings, though, but I listen to your music and I fall asleep to it.
That's a compliment.
I think it is a compliment.
That's a compliment. That's definitely a compliment, Dr. Palmer.
And I know Angelo DiPippo, your arranger, and Angelo is just a fantastic guy. Is he still playing the accordion?
Yes.
Didn't he do the accordion in Godfather?
He was voted the best accordionist in America.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, Angelo.
You can watch a television show on Telecare.
Oh, that's a wonderful show.
I think three times a week.
Yeah. Why is it only 15 minutes?
Yeah, let me say, I wanted to answer that question. Can you negotiate a better deal?
I know.
Half an hour.
Yeah.
Right. We've been on since 1997.
Yeah. I know.
But Senior Hartman.
But you know, our 15 minutes is very packed.
And powerful.
Oh, it's good, but
powerful.
I want more.
But you know what?
Thank you.
John and I are good negotiators. You want us to negotiate a better contract for you?
Is leave them wanting more.
Yeah. And by the way, you're Cure of Our Church. You're the pastor of there. I've been there several times. I'm so amazed with them there and that beautiful prayer garden that you created. I was there when you first opened it up. And it was so spiritual. And I actually felt the blessed mother being there.
John, and now you have the Mercy Chapel as well.
Divine Mercy Chapel is a replica of the Divine Mercy Chapel in Poland. My parishion is funded that. And the whole Divine Mercy Chapel, those of you who are listening, if ever you are, passing merit, stop by and just take a look at the Divine Mercy Chapel and the Mercy Garden. There's a whole crucifixion scene in the center of the garden, and it's just a very, you walk in, you can feel the presence of God.
Absolutely. I have one more question. Who decorated the inside of the church? It is so gorgeous.
I think
Father Charles had his hand in this.
He did.
It is amazing. The most beautiful inside of a church I've ever seen.
God has been very, very good to me. He sent people to really help me to do that. And it's been the parishioners that have done all this.
Because they rallied around you.
Yes.
Father Charles has a way of bringing people
absolutely
in and getting people to want to give.
Yeah.
And this is their parish, and he makes them feel
loved.
Yes, he makes them feel loved. Well, he makes them feel like
I'm there with
home.
Them. I work with them. I don't say you do this and I go back to the rectory. I'm there.
But you're so loving. You're so Jesus-like.
And that's really what we're talking about.
God, that's the Jesus in me.
That's
yes,
Jesus,
it is.
Yes.
God is love.
Yes.
And people who are listening.
And so are you guys. I mean, look at the work that you're doing.
We're just doing what Jesus asks us.
We have no idea.
We know one thing, though. We love one another. Don't you love me, Father?
Yeah, of course. We have another song. It's If We Only Have Love. That's you, Laurie. You can come in. Quiet down, listeners. And let God's love touch you.
And on that moon, if we only have love to embrace without fear, we will kiss with our eyes. We will sleep with
our sleep. What am I supposed to do? Oh, God, that goes so bad. I'm dying.
Okay.
Take a breather. Come on.
That's my theme song, Lori. I can't tell you how many times I've played that in workshops, and people just fall apart in tears.
Oh.
They just fall apart in tears because it's God's love touching their hearts. And that both of you with your music.
It's amazing.
It's just unbelievable. It's so healing.
Thank God.
You know, and we have a piece in our show on healing.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't believe healing takes place.
Mm.
And so Roseanne, before she was diagnosed with the brain cancer, had finished a book on healing. And she researched a lot of healers. And today we're going to focus on Judith McNutt and Francis McNutt. Judith, prior to a marriage to Francis, was a Protestant evangelist. And she was working in Jerusalem teaching English. And she wanted Bibles. And she kept praying for Bibles. And right before Christmas, an American sailor knocked on their door and asked for Judith and her partner. And he had a big sack slung over his shoulder. And Judith kind of teased him. Well, you found them. Who are you? Santa Claus? No, I'm my shipman. And I've been looking for Judith all over Jerusalem. Our prayer group on the ship asked God who we could help for Christmas. And he told us to get these Bibles and bring them to Judith and Lynn in Jerusalem. And the bag contained the exact number of Bibles the girls have been praying for and the exact edition that Judith needed. Their prayers were answered. That's God. Now, we not only listen to him, he listens to us. And there's another story which I love. There was a priest who didn't believe in healing. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely.
And,
tragically, but yes.
Yeah. He was doing kind of like a special event. And he decided he would kind of play games. And he told the people he was a healer and everybody was going to be healed. And he didn't believe in healing. And so that they would all come up with all of their problems and worries and physical concerns, and they place him in prayer. And to his surprise, everyone was healed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God, you know, it's like what God did in miracles of the Eucharist.
Yeah,
didn't believe, and then the host started to believe.
That's right.
You know, so healing is so real.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to love us, and he wants to heal us.
Didn't Jesus tell us that in the last two Gospels? He healed, he made the blind see, blind person, he rose Lazarus from the dead last week.
In the past 2 weeks.
He wants us to know that there's healing.
But he even healed the woman at the well.
Yes.
Because she was thirsting for love.
Right.
And he gave her the love.
Absolutely. So he heals in all different ways.
Absolutely. Emotional.
It's so beautiful.
Physical.
Okay.
So we have all these petitions that people have written in, for physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. We want to mention a couple up front before we really get into the healing. And I still would bring Liz to mind, who has Chiari's disease. And Liz had surgery because her brain was sinking into her body and she was choking. And they did surgery and she's doing better, but she still has dizziness and heart palpitations. So Lord, today we're praying that those go away. And we have two other friends.
Yes, and Teresa
and Marita, both who have lung problems. And we just pray that they're healed. And we've been praying consistently, too, for the two mothers who lost their daughters to suicide over the holidays.
And we've also been praying consistently for baby David, who's been fighting cancer. And John himself has prayed over him. And he's doing well so far. And we give praise and glory to the three-year-old girls, Victoria, who Jesus cured from cancer. And the prospect is that it's unlikely that it'll ever come back, and praise Jesus.
So we're just going to, if you would, Father Charles and Lori, just extend your hands. And Jesus, we're praying for everyone who's on our healing list, and our technician as well. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bring all of our friends, all of those who are listening, we bring them before you in prayer.
And at this time, Lord, we ask you, go out over these airwaves. Touch every heart that's listening. Let that person know that they are not alone, that Jesus is with them. He loves them. Let the love of Jesus touch you. Those of you at home, lift your hands up and just say in your hearts, Jesus, I invite you into my life. Jesus, I bring my problems before you. Jesus, I ask you to touch me. Love me, Lord. I need you so much. I need your love. I need your grace. I know you can't say all those words. I'll say them for you. Jesus, every listener wants your presence now. Wants to be touched by you now. Wants to be loved by you now. They have to feel that you are not just a concept. You are a divine person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three divine persons who are in relationship with every listener. And Mary, we ask you, for those who are afraid to talk to God for one reason or another, lead them to Jesus. Lead them to your spouse, the Holy Spirit. Lead them to God the Father. Speak, petition. Speak their petitions. So we are praying now for broken hearts.
And Jesus, I'd like to specifically mention a telephone call I got from a grandmother who's so concerned about her grandson on drugs. And she just didn't know how to ask you to please, Jesus, please cure him. Cure him, Jesus. It's so important to her, Jesus.
We ask you, Jesus, please. Now, break the curse of addiction in the hearts, minds, and souls and bodies of all those who are addicted to any sort of substance. And not only substance, to those who are addicted to sex, to those who are addicted to people in bad relationships who are giving them nothing but pain, Lord. Break that addiction. And thank you, Lord.
And please, Jesus, give that grandmother peace. Please give her peace. Let her know that you're by her side, you're holding her hand, and you love her, and you're watching over her grandson. Please, Jesus, please.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I call upon St. Joseph and all the saints. For Lord, you've given them to us as our brothers and sisters who are rooting for us and praying for us as we continue to run this race with our eyes fixed on the finish line. I ask, Lord, that you allow them to intercede for us. For they love us. They love you. And they've made it to the other side of life. And so, Lord, we ask them, St. Joseph, pray for us, intercede for us.
And for those who are caretakers, if someone you are with is bedridden, now place your hand on that person and you become Jesus for that person. Let the love of Jesus in you pass through to the person who may even be on their deathbed so that you can bring Jesus' peace and love to them right now. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you.
And Jesus, as you appointed your apostles to be healers, appoint those that need to be healers to be healers, so when they pray over their loved ones and their Lord, that you will cure them.
Jesus' wounds, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun. And he'll hold you, listeners. He's holding you now in the palm of his hands. So I'll be still and let his love touch you.
Be the man of God that you need to be for this world.
for your community, for your church, for your family. For God has placed you as man, as the head of your family. May He empower you to be a man of integrity, truth, purity, chastity, holiness.
Jesus, and I reach out to you across these airwaves, and I touch your heart with my love, and I tell you that today, even though we are entering Passion Week, it's Christmas for you, it's Pentecost for you, as I touch you with my timeless love and the healing grace, and I call you who have pulled away from me to come back. The sacrament of reconciliation, and to come back to true presence, my true presence in the Eucharist, so that I may build you up with my love and make you as close to me as you ever could be.
Charles and Lori for being with us today. It was a great joy. Wonderful, wonderful.
And we bring everybody back now to reality and out of the depths of their hearts and their souls. You now know that God is love. You've heard it. You've felt it. You've been touched by His love. He's here, right now. Going out over this radio station to the beautiful music of Father Charles and Lori and the children in the background. What better thing to have happen? than their children listening. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless. Hope to see you next week. Thank you, Father Charles. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Great job, Dr. Father.
Thank you. Thank you, Engineer Jim.
Okay.
Good job.